I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals. 2 hours of stories and information about hunting, fishing, and high adventure. It's KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to hour number two and the final one for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. As always, nice to have you with us, especially on this free fishing day. And later in this hour, we're going to revisit a conversation we had with Randy Oplinger to remind you of the do's and don'ts on this June 8th free fishing day. Navadomskis will also join me, and we'll get down to the brass tacks, some of the specific places where you can go have some fun today and talk about fishing in general, which is really taken off in the state of Utah. And in just a couple of minutes later in this half hour, Roger Eggett will pay his weekly visit with us. We'll find out what's going on at Bear River Lodge as well. But first, Faith Jolly joins us. She was with us last week
to talk about how to handle a situation if you come on either young deer or young elk in the wild. And hopefully you went to the website wildlife.utah.gov to follow up on that. She's back with us this week to talk about bear safety, however. My wife would just as soon, Faith, not think that there are any bears out there. She doesn't want to camp where they have bear boxes. We've done that a couple of times up in Montana, and she'll be, you know, surveying the area and notice that there are safety bear boxes in the campground, and she instantly wants to change direction and stay somewhere else. But if you mind your manners, hopefully they mind theirs, right?
Exactly, yep. No, it's true. And that's funny you mentioned that. I have a sister that was in Wyoming and just terrified of bears. There's a ton of bears up there, and was so excited when they finally moved back to Utah. And I had to remind her, you know what? We have bears as well.
Yeah. And seems to be more and more. And I don't know if that's because the population of the bears is greater or that we have more people that are going out and camping. I'm assuming it's a little bit of both.
You know what? Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, honestly, on if there have been population increases. That's definitely a biologist question. But I think it does, you know, we are just kind of expanding some of our, you know, urban areas into some of their habitat. And, yeah, more people, it seems like, are getting out camping and posting photos on social media. So it might be a little of both, like you said, that the awareness is just a little greater in the exposure.
Well, and as we get more people out doing that, the chances are statistically that we're, as a percentage, we'll probably get more people that are not all that skilled at actually getting out and camping. And the closer those camp spots are to civilization, say big city, Salt Lake City, Provo, Ogden, something here along the Wasatch Front, the more chances folks are just going up there and throwing a blanket down or a quick tent set up or maybe even car camping and don't know the real basics of protecting themselves and their family. Because back to the bear boxes for a minute, the idea behind the bear box is if you have some stinky food or have something that the bears may be interested in, you lock it in there overnight so they can't get at it. And those boxes are away from where your tent is going to be. And that really is the first and most important bottom line.
It really is. You know, and a lot of our biologists have kind of emphasized this. Like, in general, you know, black bears, which that's the only type of bears we have in Utah currently, they are typically going to do everything they can to avoid people. But it is when, you know, they were trying to find food and they smell that food that they are going to come into close contact. And that's when they can get aggressive sometimes, is when they're trying to get food and then they feel like, you know, you're trying to take it away from them. So, yeah, we just, our biggest emphasis on staying safe around bears is to make sure your food source is away from where you're sleeping and just keep your campsite clean, you know, because they have a great sense of smell.
By the way, nothing more enticing. And I remember from my days of camping as a kid, I would see my grandfather Cook the bacon in the morning, which there's nothing better than that smell around the camp, you know, hearing and smelling the bacon cooking. But then just dump the grease somewhere in the ground around. I mean, that is like the perfect buffet calling card for a hungry bear.
Exactly. And honestly, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that example because a lot of people do that. They just don't even think about it. You know, they don't remember that we have bears here. They, you know, just don't know the proper procedures. And so, yeah, like we tell people, you know, it's kind of that same concept. If you pack it in, pack it out, and that includes, you know, some little things like that, like bacon grease, you know, and especially, you know, just it's so easy. Just put it in a bag, you know, store that bag in your car or in like a lock box, you know, a bear box, a bear-proof cooler, you know, there's a lot of those available now.
Yeah.
But yeah, just keep that smell contained and that food away.
And that comes down to, and I know this is a pain sometimes when you've had a long day, especially if you're out hunting or something, or you've been out on the water, you know, water skiing and you're worn out. But keeping your grill clean itself or cleaning your utensils, those can also send a signal out with their smell.
Yep, and that's one thing that people probably don't think about. You know, they're like, well, it's not food. You know, there's no visible food here. But yeah, that smell and some of those greases and those, yeah, that even your trash. You know, that's one thing that it can definitely attract bears in that with that scent.
My brother lived for a number of years and worked up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and hiked the Tetons on a fairly regular basis. And there's lots of bears up there, but they got in the habit of always hanging their trash bags from the tree, getting it up in the tree somewhere away from where they were going to sleep. And that's a pretty good habit to get into.
Yeah, and that's a great option. Like if you are in an area that maybe doesn't have, you know, bear-proof dumpsters for your trash or you don't have a bear-proof cooler or, you know, you're backpacking, you didn't have a car to lock it in, that is a great option. And we usually recommend to people to hang it at least 10 feet off the ground and then also 10 feet away from the tree. So kind of out on a branch, you know, where it's not as easy for them to scale up and snag.
The other thing that's sort of off the radar of people is something as simple as toothpaste. You know, we buy a particular toothpaste because it tastes minty and it smells good. Well, guess what? It tastes the same way and smells the same way to the bear.
It's true. Yep. And just like with anything else, you know, it might seem weird because you're used to just, you know, maybe spitting it on the ground. But yeah, we ask that you'll kind of keep it in little containers or baggies, you know, keep that away. And especially with any of these items that you are kind of storing away, we ask that you put it, you know, you sleep at least 100 feet away from the food prep area so that if a bear does happen to come in, it's not going to be near your tent while you're sleeping.
Yeah. Deodorant also fits into that category, although if a bear actually ate your deodorant, they probably wouldn't come back again looking for it. But
yeah.
But it does smell good.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. Here's my tip, and my dentist is going to hate this. My wife doesn't like it either. But my point is, if you're going to go out and get dirty and you're going to camp and you're all going to be out there in the same environment, leave your deodorant, leave your toothpaste at home. And just come home stinky. That's kind of part of the plan here.
You know what? And I feel like that's just, like you said, it's just kind of part of camping, you know. Everybody, and if you all smell bad, then it's not as noticeable.
Yeah, then nobody notices. Here's the one thing that is for sure. If a bear is rewarded by finding and getting food in a particular area, and this goes back to that old line about a fed bear is a dead bear, because if they become a nuisance, then wildlife has no choice, really, to go in there and take that bear out. But if the bear is rewarded and finds success in getting food, you can bet they're going to come back.
Yep, they have really good memories. And so, yep, they'll come back to that same area, you know, whether it's a neighborhood digging through trash or whether it's your campsite. And so we just tell people, like, you are really putting yourselves in danger, but you're also putting these bears in danger. Because like you said, if they ever do become a nuisance and they're having those interactions with people even once, like, you know, we have to put them down because it's not worth the risk.
And it's not something that anybody in your office looks forward to, I know.
Yeah, no, it's never a good call to have to respond to an incident with a bear, you know, and so, yeah, they don't look forward to it, and, you know, people don't like hearing that, and so it is just for everyone's safety, including the wildlife, to keep your area clean and to make sure they can't become a nuisance.
Yeah, I just want to read this one quote from the mammals coordinator for the division, who says, you know, we enjoy managing and protecting animals so Utahns can get outdoors and enjoy them. Having to euthanize an animal because someone didn't do something as simple as keeping their campsite clean and storing food in a secure area is tough. Please don't put us in that situation this year.
Yep. That is a good reminder from Darren. Yeah, I've talked to him a lot about this, and he just, yeah, it's, I mean, like you said, it's not something that any of us enjoy. And so, you know, we want to make sure these animals are kept safe so that other people can enjoy them in the future.
Yeah. And even though it scares the bejeebers out of some people, including my wife, which we've already established, seeing a bear in the wild is exhilarating. And it's one of the things that you'll always remember in your life.
Totally. Totally. Yep. And that is, you know, something that we want for people to have that experience, just, you know, in a safe way and in a safe environment.
Just practice the old CPR. You can photograph and release.
Exactly.
Get out there and have a good time. We don't want to discourage anybody from spending that time in the outdoors. Just do it smart so that you protect yourself, your family, and, of course, the wildlife around you. Faith, as always, thanks for your information. You're great. Congratulations on the new gig. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on.
That's Faith Jolly, the Public Information Officer for the Division of Wildlife Resources. Again, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more of KSL Outdoors in just a minute. Well, you can hear some of the fun in the background. I'm with Roger Eggett, just enjoying the day. I said to you when we pulled up for a stop here for a few minutes, it's incredible how much untracked powder there is out here to play on.
Yeah, it is an incredible day. Just beautiful. We're here up here in the Uintas, and there is so much snow this year. It's just incredible.
And, of course, we started our day at the cabins at Bear River Lodge, and this is a little different area than you brought us last year, isn't it? A little bit farther in, I think.
Yeah, we came over to Gold Hill this year. We started up the Whitney Reservoir Road, went over to Gold Hill, and now we're right at the foot of Gold Hill, just looking at these beautiful peaks.
When I go to Strawberry Reservoir, I rely on Paul Phillips to make sure I don't get lost or fall through the ice. When I come to Bear River Lodge, I come with Roger because I don't ever have to fear that I'm going to get lost somewhere in these trees. This is your backyard.
It is my backyard, Tim, but we might get lost, and I have been lost.
All right. That adds a little edge to the rest of the afternoon. Look, let's talk about these machines. When we sort of broad brush it when we're usually talking, and I'm in the studio and you're up here, but my wife decided she was going to ride the single machine and didn't get out of the parking lot before she changed her mind. She got put on a rocket, a Ski-Doo 850.
Yeah, these Ski-Doo Summit 850s are incredible sleds. So today on our ride, we've got the Summit 850s long tracks, 165-inch track with 3-inch paddles. Just these sleds will go anywhere, deep, deep snow. We've got a Polaris SKS on the Axis chassis 800. It'll go anywhere. We've got the Ski-Doo 550 two-seaters with electric start and comfort. You know, we brought your kids, your grandkids. Just whatever the family dynamics are, we'll have sleds for them.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know what you're getting into when you decide on a machine, too. A good example is my wife. She's 5'5", 130 probably, and she got on that thing, and the skis on the front started to lift off the ground. She said, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I went up to her when I started getting on. I thought, okay, that's a big sled for that lady. But your son-in-law convinced me she wanted that so you could get on it.
Yeah, we're switching off out here where we found a place to play in a big open area with some hills, and the kids are out there digging, I think making snow angels or digging snow caves or something. But that's an example of what can happen up here. These machines, though, have come a long way. Before we jumped on, we were talking about the fact that you started with a Ski-Doo 350 or something?
340 Ski-Doo, just clear back in the 70s. Those things were awesome, you know, but it's the evolution of snowmobiling is just incredible. You know, I've owned the Bear River Lodge for 22 years, and I used to buy a snowmobile, my whole entire fleet, $2,500 per machine. Right now, our machines average between $10,000 and $13,000 per machine. So,
and that's a good example of why people don't
go out and have these experiences with their families. It's darn expensive for them to do that if they're going to buy enough machines. I mean, most people can't afford one, let alone four or five for the family to go out together, and it just limits what families can do. But that's not the case with Bear River Lodge and Trax Power Sports.
Right. Come up, ride with us. We run specials all the time. So we understand the family dynamics, and it's expensive to get out and have fun. But if you follow our package deals, follow us on social media, we run specials that allow families to come stay in a cabin for a couple nights, get all the sleds they want, at a very fair price that allow them to go out and have fun.
We pulled in last night, and we were all a little surprised. The parking lot was full. Here we are. You know, third week of March, headed to April, and people are still coming up because of all this snow.
I have never had so much snow at the cabins. I've been telling you all week, we've got 7 feet of snow in front of the cabins, and it's the end of March. And we'll be snowmobiling. So for spring break, if you haven't snowmobiled yet, get out here and snowmobile.
Talk to me about the deals you've got now. You mentioned that you've got packages, but through the end of the season, you've got rent one, get one free on the machines?
We're doing rent one, get one free on cabins, snowmobiles, and then even on ATVs until May 23rd. But we're running package deals right now. I think for $249, a couple can come up, stay for two nights, and get a snowmobile. I think for double that price, you can get two snowmobiles in a two-bedroom cabin. And for just over $1,000, you can get two nights in a five-bedroom cabin and five snowmobiles.
I look at these conditions, and the temperatures we were just checking are somewhere between 25 and 28 degrees where we are right now. This time of year, you can get into what Craig Gordon at the Avalanche Center refers to as manky snow, which is tough on snowmobiles, and you even brought your son-in-law and one of your cabin owners to dig us out if we had to, but these conditions look more like February to me.
Yeah, it's incredible. The snow is spectacular. I'm surprised today how much, like you said, to start, untracked powder there is. There's a solid base, which is wonderful. Then we've got probably 8, 10 inches, 12 inches of powder on top of that. It's just fun.
Yeah. And Trax Power Sports, one of the locations, is here at Bear River Lodge. It's such an easy drive. We made it in last night. We got a late start because everybody had to work. But we pulled in after dark. But you go straight up to Evanston on I-80. You make one turn on Highway 150, which is the Mirror Lake Highway. Come right to the end of the road, and the road conditions were fantastic.
Yeah, they plow the road from Evanston out for the school bus every morning. So the road's plowed. The conditions are great. Still a lot of spring riding to do.
Yeah, so if you want more information, of course, you can go to BearRiverLodge.com. Roger always throws his number out there, too, if you want to give him a call.
Well, call this number, 801-798-1008, because I'm sure I messed some information up. They'll set you straight and give you the deals. But we have incredible deals the next couple months, so come out and play with us.
We're going to go play right now, as a matter of fact. BearRiverLodge.com is the place. Next week, we'll talk more about shared cabin ownership. It's fun to be here with one of your cabin owners, and maybe we can talk to him a little bit about his family experience.
Yeah, he actually owns a whole ownership, so he owns an entire cabin. Plus, he owns a shared cabin ownership, so I don't know. He likes to come stay in his own cabin and then his shared cabin, and he's up here a lot, but it's a great program.
All right, we'll look into doing that. We'll record a segment with him, and we'll air that for everybody next week. But remember, it's BearRiverLodge.com. Still a lot of winter fun to be had, and when the snow is gone, we just trade in the tracks for the wheels, and we keep playing in this same beautiful part of the Wasatch. Thanks so much.
Have a great week, Tim. Thank you.